Amen. Thank the Lord for that blood. Revelation chapter 19 this evening. Lord willing, and I think he is, we're going to try to finish up chapter 19 to next Wednesday night. If nothing happens, then the following week, I guess it is, if I got my days right. I hadn't looked at the calendar. I think that's right. Yeah, I think it's right. The next week we'll have Thursday evening service instead of Wednesday because of the Christmas holiday there. We're going to move it to Thursday evening, and Lord willing, we're going to have the Lord's Supper that night. So I hope you make plans to be here for that. And then the next Wednesday will be Brother Knox. So this year is going to be closing quickly. All right, Revelation chapter 19. Let's look at verse number 9. The Bible says, "And he saith unto me," speaking of John there, "Right, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true and true sayings of God." We spent some time last week looking, first of all, at that thought of right. What you hold in your hand, that precious written word of God. And I still like that last part. These are the true sayings of God. John was overwhelmed what he was seeing, and the Lord reminded him, "These are the true sayings of God." Write that down. Verse number 10 says, "And I fell at his feet to worship him, and he said unto me, See thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren, that they have the testimony of Jesus." Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And we looked at that fact of how the angel told John not to bow down to him. And talking about man worship, we don't need to worship men nor angels. There's only one. We spent some time looking at who was only one and still the only one worthy of worship, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And we spent it, I'm preaching with a cough drop. That's not the easiest thing to do. The last thing I think we looked at was that thought there in the very last. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy, and we spent a little bit of time looking at that, the nature there. Of what that prophecy, and of course, the prophecy is about the Lord. And verse number 11 says, "And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, and that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and treadeth the winepress of fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." Let's pray. Father, we love you. We do thank you, Lord, once again for the privilege, God, just to be in your house this evening. God, Lord, I know I stand of need tonight. Lord, I pray, God, that you'd help us, Lord. God, refresh our mind. I pray, Lord, you'd help the scriptures come naturally to us this evening, Lord. Help us not to puff up in knowledge, but God, as we learn, help us to be broken. God, that we would see men in the condition that they're in. And God, I pray, Lord, you'd help us to grow in light and salt. I pray, Lord, you'd help us to be more of a witness in these days, Lord. And God, I pray, Lord, for each one of us tonight, God, that we'd grow, God, spiritually. I pray, Lord, for Brother Mike and Miss Jean tonight, God, that you'll comfort their others, Lord, that are going through troublesome times, Lord, a lot of sickness. Lord, we pray for them. Pray for our young folk tonight in Patch and Pee Wee. Just pray that you'll bless there. And God, we'll thank you for what you're doing. For us in Christ's name we pray. Amen. You can be seated this evening. I forgot, I was going to make mention, you can go on, if you have internet, you can go on there and get this. Brother Beatty has been on fire here lately, sending stuff out from Return America. A lot of stuff most people never hear about. In the last 3 or 4 days, he sent out several things of things that are happening in our country. And it just amazes me how quickly things are turning, how quickly things are changing. One of the ones that I was telling Brother John about just a minute ago, New York's trying to push the guns out of their city. That's happening pretty quick, and that's just the beginning of of our country's movement that way. And then I can't remember where it was at. I read it, but I don't remember what state it was in. And I thought, boy, this is sad. You know, I always thought that America was the land of freedom, and you could, you know, if you had a business, you could do what you was going to do in your business, per se. But this man is being sued by two sodomites because he has a bakery, and he nicely refused that he would not make them a wedding cake. And they've sued him, and they're going to win. It's pretty much a slam dunk for them. And I thought, you know, that's so sad to see how our world is changing so quickly. And it reminds me of where we're at in our study. I don't say that to scare us. I say that as we tried to look at the past two Sunday nights. And boy, I'm looking forward, if the Lord don't change things, this coming Sunday night, we're going to be back in the book of Ezra. We was there Sunday night, and we'll be back there again this Sunday night. Just, Lord's really showing me some things there. But we as a church have got to get to the place where we are firm on what we believe. If things have changed. I was talking to Miss Nora earlier, speaking to sodomites, even the Pope has gave his blessings to sodomites. And I thought, you know, I don't agree with the Pope in probably nothing, I don't guess. But, you know, I would have thought that would have never been that way. But he said that, you know, they put their blessings on it. I thought, that's sad. And and the church is doing the same thing all around. There'll be Baptist churches that's there before you know it. So it's an unusual time that we're living in, but as I told Brother Mike last week, he's seeing the lights of the city. I believe we're getting pretty close ourselves, so that's where we're at. But let's jump back in here, Revelation chapter 19, and again, I hadn't said it in a while. The reason for this study, and it's been a long study. I've enjoyed going back. I've seen several things that I didn't see the first time that I studied through and made the notes that I have. And but I don't do it for knowledge, as far as to puff up, look what I know. That's not what we're here about. And I want to make sure that we always keep in mind that the things that we have looked up to this point, we talked about 2 weeks ago about we see the marriage of the Lamb. The church is coming back in play now. But everything prior to this, you know, after Revelation chapter 4 is dealing with this world and the things taking place on this earth, and God's going to do those things. That judgment is going to fall. That wrath's going to come. We're going to be in heaven. We're going to be at that judgment seat, me and Judge, about our works, and we can have something to do about that. We can work today and do something for the Lord. And so, you know, as we read these things, just let the Lord work in your heart on these matters, and just, you know, draw closer to him in these days, I guess is what I'm trying to say. But the Bible says in verse number 11 is a great verse. It says, John says, I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called faithful and true, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. Here we see heaven opened, and we just mentioned Revelation chapter 4. That's when the Lord opened heaven up, the door opened, and we went up. And here the door opens again, and guess what? We're coming back out. And so I'm thankful this evening that the Lord is going to open that door. He is that door. And take your Bibles. We're going to do a lot of turning tonight. Look at, over in the book of John. Let me show you that door in action. Revelation 4, the door opened and we went up. Revelation 19, the door is going to open and we're going to come back out. John chapter 10 this evening. John 10:1 says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep, and that all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door, verse 9. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And again, just looking at application here, the Bible says in John or Revelation 19 that the doors of heaven are going to open up, and we're coming out of there. And if you look in John 10, I believe you can see that same issue again there in verses 1 through 3, I guess it is. There's only one person that's going to open that door, and that's the Lord himself. And salvation tonight, we know that. It's Wednesday night. You know this. It's nothing new to you. We know that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. He is that only door, and he's the only way into heaven. And verse 3 says, there to him the porter is open, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. And so he leadeth us out of this world into heaven. And we're going to be in heaven those 7.5 years. And guess what? The door's going to open. He's going to lead us back out to this part of it. Verse 4 says, he putteth forth his own sheep. He goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. He calls us up. We go out of here, Revelation chapter 4. He opens the door. He says, let's go back out. We're going to follow him back out to this earth. So I think a good picture there of what we're talking about is when it comes to the door. Verse 9, that we can see that entire rapture, the go out there, second coming and finding pasture. We won't take time to go there. I was reading some notes from some other men and on this same thought about seeing the thought of that door opening. And a lot of times we never hear Psalms 23 except at funerals. I believe Psalms 23, there's so much richness in that, just that small chapter. But this guy, he had opened it up, and he was drawing some things from that shepherd taking care of the sheep, and how he's going to lead us through the valley of that shadow of death. Talking about, he was referring it back to the second coming of Christ. I thought, boy, you can see a picture there. And so the Lord shows us those things there. But back over in Revelation chapter 19, the door's going to open, and it says there, John said, I saw the door open. And the whole purpose of this, and I'll say it again probably in a minute, don't get caught up in the language that most people get caught up. A lot of people, when they hear the word the Lord second coming, they think of the rapture, and that's not what they're saying, or they shouldn't be saying. That's not the rapture. The Lord is coming back a second time. The first time he came as that baby in a manger, heading to Calvary. The second time he comes back is Revelation chapter 19. He's not coming back as a baby in a manger. He's coming back as a warrior, and there's a battle getting ready to happen. So just make sure you know that. Verse number 12 says he gets a description here of what he looks like. And verse 12 says his eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had the name written that no man knew but he himself. And the first thing we see there, and we saw it there in Revelation chapter 1, chapter 2 also, when John saw him there with the churches, his eyes, were as a flame. And I'm glad that I can say tonight, when I look into his eyes as a saved person, I don't see the flaming eyes of the Lord. What do you mean, preacher? I saw eyes of love. I saw eyes of a man that died for my sins. Here we see he's coming back, and John points out his eyes were as a flame. Take your Bibles to the book of Amos. Amos chapter 9. Amos chapter 9. Look in verse number 8. Amos 9. Talk about he saw the eyes of the Lord as fire. It says in verse number 8 of Amos chapter 9, it says, "Behold, the eyes of the Lord God are upon the sinful kingdom, and I will destroy it from off the face of the earth, saving that I will not utterly destroy the house of Jacob, saith the Lord. For lo, I will command, and I will sift this house of Israel among all the nations, like as corn is sifted in a sieve, yet shall not the least grain fall upon the earth. All the sinners of my people shall die by the sword, which say the evil shall not overtake nor prevent us." Those eyes. Boy, I'm glad tonight the Bible talks about he guides us with his eyes. But tonight when John points out the eyes here in Revelation number 19, notice again, he says his eyes were as a flame of fire. That's that consumption. That's he's coming back as one that's going to consume this world. So we see his eyes. The second thing we see there in verse number 12 says his eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And so he had crowns. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and he had many crowns. Now, a lot of people take that verse and they'll say, well, these are the crowns of the kings of this world. That's not so. He's coming out of heaven right here. He has crowns on when he's coming out of heaven. Where'd he get them crowns? Revelation chapter 5, I think it is, talks about we're going to be casting some crowns. That's what all that judgment seat of Christ is about. And the thing that I thought in my mind, mamas, you probably know more about it than daddies do, but you know when your children are little and they draw you that picture that looks like nothing, but to that little child it looks like something, and you put that picture on the refrigerator and people walk in and think, Lord, look at that ugly picture. But you don't say that because that's your child. Your child made that picture just for you. And I believe here this evening, when we begin looking at this thought of him wearing these crowns, those are the crowns that he received out of us. And he's not ashamed to wear those crowns that we have cast at his feet. And I think that's precious tonight, to know the Lord loves you and I in such a way. I know a little bit about me. I don't know a lot about me, like the Lord knows me, but I wouldn't want nothing that I got. But I'm glad when I lay them things at his feet, he'll receive those crowns and wear those crowns. So we see he's there wearing those crowns. The third thing we see here, it says that he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And we talked a little bit about that last week. It goes on to talk about there's other names. Verse number 12, it says there's that no man may know but he himself. And it says he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And then it goes on down, his name written on his vesture is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And where I think, and again, there's a lot of things I could be wrong. The next thing we're going to look at, I can tell you one thing I know that it ain't. I can tell you some things that I think it is. But here it talks about there's a name the Bible says that no man may know, or no man knows. And I believe that's because when he comes back, he's going to have a name that nobody in this world is going to know, because they're going to know the Lord. They don't know who he is like we know him today. And so he's got that name there that no man can knows there, it says. And it's sad that the world's going to be in that condition. And then it goes on to say that he has a name called, and here's just to give you a little bit of something about this. We're not going to run a lot of scripture reference tonight, but it says he's called the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, is what the Bible says. When you see that capital W, that's speaking of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you see the scripture referred to as the little W, it's referring to what you hold in your hand. And you got to be real careful, and I'm not going to go deep into it because I'm not going to confuse you when I say this. This book is the Word of God. But when the Bible refers to the big W, the Word of God, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He is that capital W as you follow through scriptures. And to me, it's sort of like the Trinity of the, you know, you can't dispute. This Word is Him, but it's not Him in His person. So I don't want to confuse you, but just to point out, when you see that capital W, who is referring to there in that. So tonight we're going to drive on down into the latter part of what we read. And again, we have a picture here, and what's taking place. Again, we've had the marriage of the Lamb. The marriage takes place in heaven. They're coming back to this earth. The Lord's coming back. The marriage supper is coming in play. And so these things are being set up. But we know again, this is a literal coming of the Lord Jesus Christ to put his feet back on this earth. And we're going to look at some things tonight of why he's coming. And he's coming back as a warrior. He's coming back to put things back in their right place. Look over in Romans chapter 9 with me. We studied this when we studied the book of Romans. Romans chapter 9. Look at verse number 14. I'm going to read several verses out of this, these to put your mind in play. It says, verse 14 says, "What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then is it not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even as the same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will have hardeneth. Thou wilt say then unto me, why doth he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? Nay, but, O man, who art thou that replies against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? What if God, willing to show his wrath and to take his power known, or to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessel of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory, even us whom he hath called, not the Jews only, but also the Gentiles." And you can read all the way down through chapter 10. We won't take time to run there. But tonight, God's wrath is coming. Man acts like they're going to outdo God. Man acts like that he can outthink God. Man thinks he can outwork God. God's wrath, even though it's laying at wait right now, I'm wanting to preach this, and the Lord hadn't gave me a green light there, but you go over there to John chapter 3, that, you know, that thought that they're condemned already. To know tonight, if you're sitting here tonight lost, tonight you're not fully trusting. Maybe you're trusting in what you've done. Maybe you're trusting in a prayer you've made. Maybe you're trusting in a baptism. Maybe you're trusting in mom and daddy. Or maybe you're trusting in something the preacher said. If you're not really saved tonight, the condemnation of God is already upon you. To think about the wrath of God that's laying on you right now. You're condemned already. But praise the Lord. Thank God for the freedom, the mercy of God. That when you ask the Lord to save you, that those things, that's taken away and you've been made free. But tonight, to think about lost people, to think about what this world's going to go through, the Lord is coming back. The Lord will come back. That wrath will fall. We looked at all those judgments. We looked at all those things that's going to happen before Revelation chapter 19. You think, how bad could it get? They ain't seen nothing until this happens. Because when the Lord opens that door up and he's coming back with those fiery eyes and he's coming back sitting on that white horse, he's coming back with the wrath of God, and it's going to fall upon this earth, and he's going to utterly destroy the things around. So that's where we're heading with this tonight. So back over in Revelation chapter 19, again, the Lord's coming back. He's coming back on what? A white horse. That thought of white horse always represents that thought of victory. And he's coming back a victor. He's already a victor, but he comes back riding that white horse as that victory there. So he's coming back on that. He's called faithful and true. He's coming back. Look, go back up there in verse number 11. It says, "I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called faithful and true, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war." Aren't those weird words? You see the words there in the latter part. It says, "In righteousness he doth judge and make war." But he's faithful and true. And all I can say is they're going to, as they, we saw in the prior part of chapter 19, chapter 18, they're rejoicing. They're thanking God. They're saying hallelujah to what they see here. Verse 12, we looked at the description some there. Verse 13 talks about his clothing. It says, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And I'll just point this out to you. And it says, again, we looked at thought of his name being called the Word of God just for a second there. But let me just throw the same thing with the crowns. A lot of people think those crowns are the crowns of this, the kings of this world. That's not true because he's coming out of heaven with these crowns. These are the crowns that I believe that we're casting at his feet. He's wearing those crowns. And then the second thing is, a lot of people, they talk about the Battle of Armageddon. Again, it's not a thing. It's a place. I hope you remember that as we studied through that before. A lot of people say, well, his vesture's dipped in blood because that horse has rode through that valley of blood up to the bridle of the horse, so his vesture's dipped in blood. He's coming out of heaven with blood upon his vesture. He hadn't gone through that valley yet. So I don't think that's what it's referring to. But a lot of commentaries, a lot of men, or a lot of people try to point that to saying that that's where that blood comes from, and I don't believe it is. There's other places you can go to about the blood of the saints, the blood of those tribulation people, the blood that he shed, different places, but I don't believe it has anything to do with the battle that's taking place there in Armageddon. So we see there in verse number 13, we see his clothing. The thing that I want to look at tonight that has something to do with you and I is found in verse number 14. So let me draw our minds to what's taking place. John says, I see heaven opened. When heaven opens, here comes a white horse. It's got the Lord upon that white horse. He's wearing the clothing that it tells us about, being white. He's got that vesture dripped in blood. He's got those names written upon his vesture, and he is faithful and true. He's coming to judge and make war. He's wearing those crowns. His eyes are as flame of fire. But then verse 14 says, and the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Armies in heaven are following after the Lord. Who is that? That's my question to you. What are they? Who are they? What's their purpose? And I want to share some of that tonight. So look with me in the book of Jude. Let's back just a little ways. Book of Jude. Here, Jude, in verse number 14. And Enoch, and we know who Enoch is. Enoch walked with God, and he was not. Enoch here. He says, and Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied. Here we see the prophecy of Enoch, of these saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. So we see here tonight, behold, the Lord cometh. To what? To execute judgment. And be careful with the language of your as you read. He's coming back with two armies. We'll see that here in just a little bit. How many is in those armies? Well, there's 10,000 coming with him. That's not what the Bible says. John says it's an innumerable amount when he began looking at the church as he looks at those tribulation saints. He says there, it's a plural statement. It says, the Lord cometh with 10,000s. How many is that? It's not 10,000. It's 10,000s. It's plural. There's not a given number there that's coming back, but there's armies coming with the Lord, the Bible tells us there in Revelation chapter 19. One of my favorite books, go back over to the book of, in the Old Testament, to the book of Song of Solomon's. There's so many beautiful things in the book of Song of Solomon. It's one of those books that a lot of people stay away from because they say they can't understand it. But if you ever get things lined up, boy, it's a beautiful picture here. Revelation chapter 19 says he's coming back with the armies of heaven are following him. Look in Song of Solomon, chapter 6. Solomon chapter 6. Look with me in verse number 8. It says, there are 80 queens and 80 concubines and virgins without number. Verse 9 says, my dove, my undefiled, is but one. There's not but one bride, and the church is that bride. My dove, my undefiled, is but one. She is the only one of her mother. She is the choice one of her that bare her. The daughters saw her and blessed her. Yea, the queens and the concubines, and they praised her. Who is she that looketh forth as the morning fair and the moon, or as the moon, clear as the sun and terrible as the army with banners? Verse 11 says, I went down into the garden of nuts to see the fruits of the valley and to see whether the vine flourished and the pomegranates budded. Wherever I was aware, my soul made me like the chariots, plural, of Amminadab. Verse 13 says, return, return, O Shulamite, return, return, that we may look upon thee. What will ye see in the Shulamite? As it were the company of two armies. And when you look at these verses, you can see a beautiful picture, I believe, of that marriage of the Lamb. You can see the Lord there talking about his loved one there. My dove, my undefiled, is but one. Verse 10 said, who is she that looketh forth as the morning fair? And we look as that thought of the sun rising. We studied that back several chapters ago in the book of Revelations. Fair as the moon. That moon, picture of the church. He's the sun. Clear as the sun. Who are we going to be like? Him. And then it says, and terrible as an army with banners. Verse 11 says, I went down. He's coming back, Revelation chapter 19. I went down into the garden of nuts. So California must be on the map. No, I'm kidding. We're about as fruity here as they are there now. I went down to the garden of nuts to see the fruits of the valley and to see whether the vine flourished and the pomegranates budded. Verse 13 says, return, return. There's a returning. Revelations 4, there's a going up. Revelations 19, there's a returning. And it says there in the last part, what will you see in the Shulamite? As it were the company of two armies. Back over Revelations chapter 19, the Bible tells us there. There's armies in heaven following him. So there's two armies that are going to be following after the Lord when he opens up that door there in Revelation chapter 19. The first, and is pretty much a given, of course, I know, is there's going to be an angelic army that's going to be following after the Lord. Look over in Genesis chapter 32. Genesis chapter 32, verse number 1 says, and Jacob went on his way, and the angel of God met him. And when Jacob saw them, he said, this is God's host. And he called the name of that place Mahanaim. God's host, God's army. That's what that God of hosts is. And that's what those angels are. They're God's army. Look over in the book of Judges. Judges chapter 5. Who is this armies in heaven that's going to be coming after him? First army, I believe the angelic army. Judges chapter 5, look in verse number 19. The kings came and fought. Then fought the kings of Canaan and Taanach by the waters of Megiddo. Remember we looked at Megiddo? They took no gain of money. They fought from heaven. The stars and their courses fought against Sisera. Sisera being a type of that Antichrist, Megiddo, of course, being that place of that great battle And here we see what's fighting. It says there, they fought from heaven. The stars in their course fought against Sisera. And we remember going back there in Revelations 1, 2, they're talking about those stars there being those that angelic host. So the first army of the two armies is that angelic army, I believe. The second army, and that's where we come into play. Again, Revelation chapter 19, the marriage is taking place. We're going to the supper. He's opened the doors of heaven. The Bible talks about how the Lord's coming back on that white horse, victorious, fire in his eyes, crowns on his head, coming back for a purpose. And we'll see some more of that again this evening. So the other army, though, is the saints. We're going to look at several little places tonight. Look over in Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 14. Go to the last book and come back one, Malachi, then Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 14, look at verse number 3. The Bible says, "Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west, and there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove towards the south, and half of it toward the south, half of it toward the north, and half toward the south. And ye shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Azel. Yea, ye shall flee like as fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah, as the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with thee." So who's coming back there in Revelation chapter 19? The Bible says there's armies coming back from heaven following after the Lord. First the angelic, and then here we see all the saints. Look in Job chapter 25. Job chapter 25. Let me find one other place real quick. I'll find it there. Job 25, look at verse number 1. It says, "Then answered Bildad the Shunite, that's your Bible trivia there. I remember telling our teenagers when I was a youth pastor, that's the shortest man in the Bible. He was Shuhite. Ha ha ha, there you go. Y'all are dead tonight. I might as well throw a laugh in there somewhere. "Then answered Bildad the Shuhite and said, Dominion and fear are with him. He maketh peace in his high places. Is there any number of his armies, and upon whom doth not his light arise? How then can man be justified with God, or how can he be clean that is born of woman? Behold, even to the moon and to the and it shineth not, yea, the stars are not pure in his sight. How much less man that is a worm, and the son of man which is a worm?" So the Lord's talking about there, talking about him coming back. Is the fear, the peace. Look in Joel. Tie this in with it. Look in Joel chapter 3. Joel chapter 3. Look in verse 9. It says, "Proclaim ye this among the Gentiles, prepare war, wake up the mighty men, let all the men of war draw near, let them come up, beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears, let the weak say, I am strong." A lot of people run that verse there and say that's talking about us, but they need to read the next verse. It says, "Assemble yourselves and come all ye heathen and gather yourselves together round about thither, cause the mighty ones to come down, O Lord. Let the heathen be wakened and come up the valley of Jehoshaphat, for there will I sit to judge all the heathen round about." So the Lord, again, he's drawing this war together. He's coming with his armies from heaven. Look one other place. Look at Habakkuk. Habakkuk 3:8, and then let me find one other, I think. Okay, look in Habakkuk here, Habakkuk chapter 3. Verse number 8 says, verse number 8 says, was the Lord displeased against the rivers? Was thine anger against the rivers? Was thy wrath against the sea, that thou didst ride upon thine horses, plural, and thy chariots, plural, of salvation? Now turn over to Zephaniah. Look in Zephaniah chapter 3, verse number 8. This next book over. It says, verse number 8 says, therefore wait ye upon me, saith the Lord, until the day that I arise up to the prey, for my determination is to gather the nations, that I may assemble the kingdoms to pour upon them my indignation, even all my fierce anger, for all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy. And then will I turn to the people a pure language, that they may all call upon the name of the Lord to serve him with one consonant. From beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, my supplements, even the daughter of my dispersed, shall bring mine offering. In that day shalt thou not be ashamed for all thy doings wherein thou hast transgressed against me. For then I will take away out of the midst of them of thee them that rejoice in thy pride, and thou shalt no more be haughty because of my holy mountain. So again, we see the Lord's coming back. And the question is tonight, if we say, and this is, you feel sort of stupid saying something like this, or I do. The Bible says here in Revelation chapter 9, we know the Lord is returning. He's coming back on a white horse. And we talk about us coming with him, but why are we coming with him? What's the purpose of the armies? Does God need our help? Then why are we there? I think it's a good question. Why does he refer to us as armies? Why? What, again, what is that purpose? Look in 2 Thessalonians. Second Thessalonians chapter 1. Second Thessalonians, look in verse chapter 1, look in verse number 6. Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. Excuse me, verse 7, and to you who are troubled, rest with us, with the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of all this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ might be glorified in you and ye in him, according to the grace of our God, Lord Jesus Christ. But back up verse number 10 says, again, the Lord's revealed, mighty angels, punishments. We see all those things coming down. Then from verse number 10 is a reason. It says, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. We're coming back just to watch. we're going to stand in amazement as he fights. When we see the word of God as he speaks and that sword comes out of his mouth, we're there to be a testimony of him and what he's done, and we're going to be admiring him. So let me give you a few more places to look, just to draw that into your mind. Look at Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2, look at verse number 9. It says, "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man, for it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings." We are coming to be made partaker of his glory, to be like him. And that's that whole idea. And look, let me show you one place before I give you this. Look in Philippians. And there's a word that we use, and I'm afraid we use it in the wrong way sometimes. Look in Philippians. I know you think, "Preacher, what's all this have to do?" I want you to understand that the Lord's second coming, there's a purpose, there's a reasoning, and I want you to see us in this thing. Look in Philippians chapter 3. Again, Revelation chapter 19, the Lord comes back on that white horse. It says that the armies are going to be following after him. Look in Philippians chapter 3, and this is the question, why? Those armies, the angelic army, the army of the saints, we're not there to fight, but what are we there for? Look at verse number 20 of Philippians 3. "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself." So, what are we going to, you know, a lot of people, and this is that fleshly idea, and I don't want to bust your bubbles, I don't want to, you know, I'm not trying to start a debate, I don't really think there's anything to debate about. How many times you thought, or somebody asked you, "Preacher, what are we going to look like in heaven?" Anybody ever thought that? Don't I have. You've heard that, probably all of us. What are we going to look like in heaven? Are we going to look like we do now? What's the whole purpose of this thing? We're going to look like him. We're going to be like him. He's turning that into a glorious, and he's the only thing that is glorious. People say, "Well, preacher, are we going to know our loved ones there? Well, we know, is there going to be, we're going to know our families?" And that's all thinking through the mind that you have now. When we get to heaven, I don't think you're going to think the way you think now. I just can't imagine us having, we're going to think like he thinks. We're going to know as he knows. And we're going to be like him. And, you know, what we put so much emphasis on in this earth about our looks and our height, our weights and all these things, our names, all those things aren't going to matter in heaven. So we're going to come back to admire and to be that glory of him. Look in Colossians chapter 3. Here's the word that I want to make sure that we understand when we hear this word. Colossians chapter 3. Look at verse number 4. The Bible says, "When Christ, who is our life, shall appear," Revelation chapter 19, he's appearing, "then shall ye also appear with him in glory." Now, what does that word glory mean? I can't wait to get to glory. Glory is not a place. Glory is who he is. Glory is that thought of free from sin. We're going to be like him, not a place. Look at 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 says, Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, Revelation chapter 19, he's going to appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. He's changing us. We're different. We're not like we were. Look in Psalms 58. We'll look at Psalms 58, and then we'll look at one more place, and we'll be done. Psalms 58. Look at verse number 10. Psalm 58 says, the righteous shall rejoice when he seeth the vengeance. He shall wash his feet in the blood of the wicked, so that a man shall say, verily there is a reward for the righteous. Verily he is a God that judgeth in the earth. And we know there's a payday someday. Boy, I'm looking forward to heaven. But to think about coming back, following after the Lord, and how we're going to be, we're going to come in behind him, and we're going to be in his glory. We're going to be free from sin. And again, like I preached Sunday morning, I don't know what I'm talking about. If you wasn't here Sunday morning, you don't know what that message was about. Man, we talk about stuff like this. And I'm like John was in Revelation chapter 19. I'm like, the Lord's like poking you, wake you up. You know, look, right, get your eyes back on what we're talking about. When you start thinking about what the Lord is doing, what the Lord's going to do, and how he's going to put it all together, it just blows my mind. I just give you verses. I can't understand all this. It's bigger than what I can understand. But I just know the Lord said, that's how we're coming back. We're going to come back like he is, in a glorified body as he is. And here he talks about there is that reward. We're going to come back. We're going to watch as the Lord pours out his judgment upon this earth. One more place. Look at Malachi. And we'll close out with this. Look at Malachi. What's it all about? Malachi chapter 3, look at verse number 16. Malachi chapter 3, look at verse number 16. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts. I'm glad he claims this. In that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. How are we going to be able to rule and reign with the Lord? Have you ever thought about that? We're coming to rule and reign with, how? Because we're going to be in like him. So then shall ye return, Revelation chapter 19, and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. Chapter 4, verse 1 says, for behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and shall and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. Verse 2, but unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall, and ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. Lord says we're coming back with him. He's going to fight in front of us. And we're just coming in for the ride in behind him. And he talks there, he says, and you shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be what? Ashes. How are they ashes? He's undestroyed them. So we're not coming back to fight for the Lord. The Lord's fighting. He'll fight that battle. So I just want you to see, as we go back to Revelation chapter 19, we're going to, Lord willing, we're going to finish up next week in chapter 19. Hit the rest of those verses there. But you see all that, that second coming from 17 all the way down to chapter 20, verses 1 through 3 there. But the heavens open, verse 11. The Lord's riding back on that white horse, verse 11. Fire in his eyes, crowns on his head, clothed in a vesture of blood, called the Word of God. And verse 14 says, and the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Just like him. Just like him. There's a great day coming when the Lord opens that sky up. I'm looking forward to Revelation 4 when we go up. But boy, I can't imagine coming back down with him, riding in behind him. I'm not much of a horse rider, but I will be that day. So get your cowboy boots on. I'm even wearing them tonight, so there we go. So again, armies out of heaven. Who are they? Two we saw there in Song of Solomon. There's an angelic army. There's a army of the saints. So we're coming back with him. He's going to fight, and we're just there to watch and admire and to be his glory, his jewel. What we are. So let's stand together this evening. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.